This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
No matter what we do, we are going to see many more outbreaks. We're going to see outbreaks in schools. We're going to see outbreaks in shopping malls. We're going to see outbreaks in workplaces.
That's Professor Salim Abdulkarim warning of a spike in coronavirus infection as South Africa lifts the lockdown. Details coming up. Also, we look at how the coronavirus is affecting Uganda's healthcare workers. And there is an upsurge in mental health problems in Zimbabwe as people suffer from anxiety during the coronavirus crisis. All these and more ahead on African News Tonight. But first, our top story. South Africa has registered around 7,000 confirmed COVID-19 infections and more than 130 deaths. But those numbers are likely to rise as about 1 million South Africans began returning to work Monday as the government has allowed the easing of some lockdown restrictions designed to slow the spread of the coronavirus. For VOA journalist Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
The scientist leading South Africa's medical response to COVID-19 warned Monday of a dramatic spike in infections in the coming weeks as the government lifts restrictive public health measures.
We are going to see flames everywhere. It is just how this virus continues to spread.
Professor Salim Abdulkarim said testing and isolation of infected people is ongoing, but treatment facilities should prepare themselves. The epidemiologist said this period marks the real start of South Africa's outbreak.
It doesn't help to get worked up about it because it is going to happen, whether we like it or not. No matter what we do, we are going to see many more outbreaks. We're going to see outbreaks in schools. We're going to see outbreaks in shopping malls. We're going to see outbreaks in workplaces.
Karim said hospitals will be the most high-risk places, but the scientists said the economy must restart and children must go to school despite the risks.
We have to find a way to live with this virus. We have to find a way in which we accept that this virus poses a threat to us, but that we will continue our everyday lives doing whatever we can to minimize that threat.
Karim said South Africa must try to emulate South Korea, which last week reported no local COVID-19 transmissions.
They achieved it because they instituted all of these procedures. They did a lot of testing, they did a lot of hand washing, they promoted social distancing. It'll be a bigger challenge here because our society is not like South Korea, but we can achieve quite a lot of that. And our goal, remember, is not to beat this virus because we can't. We're just trying to spread out the infections over a longer time.
Karim said some areas, especially cities, may return to total lockdown if infections threaten to overburden health systems.
And I get concerned that people will start panicking when they see outbreaks. They'll try to blame people. They will try to stigmatize those who got infection. Nobody's to blame. This is just a virus that, you know, will spread in this way.
But he says he has every confidence in South Africa's rapid response squads of virus experts.
When we find a problem, when we find that flame, we send in the teams and they try to do their best to douse it and to keep it under control so it doesn't become a raging fire. That's our overall strategy. Flatten the curve, deal with the flames.
Despite these efforts, Karim said it's likely COVID-19 will claim significant numbers of lives in the next few months. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Kenya is offering free testing for the coronavirus in densely populated areas of Nairobi, but the health ministry says turnout has been low. The testing has so far uncovered dozens of new confirmed cases. Rael Ambor reports from Nairobi.
On Monday morning, 25-year-old Martin Wakwayika was one of the hundreds in Isili, a neighborhood in Nairobi's Central Business District, who turned up at a temporary Ministry of Health stand to get tested for the coronavirus. Having recorded more than 50 coronavirus cases, Isili is one of the most densely populated neighborhoods in Nairobi that Kenya's Ministry of Health warned might be a coronavirus hotspot. The ministry on Friday began mass testing in the targeted areas, with hundreds of residents like Wakweyika volunteering themselves for testing. What made me go for testing, he says, is the information that there were confirmed cases here in Isili. He says, I went to get tested to know if I was okay. I have two children in the house and I'm always out working, so I had to know if I am okay. Another hotspot where dozens more positive cases were confirmed in the past week is the neighborhood of Kawangware. Hundreds queued for testing at a primary school in the area on Monday, but thousands more, such as Connie Mwana, chose to stay at home.
When you get to those quarantine facilities, the chances of contracting COVID-19 are high because of the way people are staying in the facilities. For example, sanitation is a bit low. The washrooms, people are sharing washrooms, picking individuals and taking them by force to these quarantine facilities, I think has made people fear.
Mwana says she cannot risk exposing her kids to quarantine if she was to test positive. She hopes if she has the virus, it may pass as a flu without her noticing. But thinking like that will allow the virus to spread, said Ministry official Rashid Aman at a news conference Sunday.
The outcome of the testing exercise so far has shown a low turnout in some of these areas. In the last 2 days, the testing teams have tested 803 against a target of 2,000 in Kawangware, 494 in Isli against a target of 3,000. I want to remind Kenyans that there are countries where people beg to be tested, yet their governments are unable to do so. As of now, the Ministry of Health has acquired the testing capacity to undertake targeted testing, but the willingness of the people to be tested is low.
Part of the problem may be that those who are found positive are charged for the tests and have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine at a government facility. The cost of quarantine, which is also charged to the patient, is $20 per day, much more than the daily wage of most people in the slum areas where the mass tests are being conducted. In an effort to encourage more testing, the Ministry of Health on Monday said the government will cover the fees of patients who show they cannot afford the costs. On Monday, Kenya recorded 25 new cases of the coronavirus, raising the number of confirmed cases in the country to 490. Rael Ombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
Uganda's healthcare workers say they are seeing some success in hospital wards as they battle the fast-spreading coronavirus. But outside of Uganda's hospitals, healthcare workers face stigma from the community. Halima Tumani reports from Kampala.
The high-risk COVID-19 ward at Uganda's Mulago National Referral Hospital has been filled to capacity over the past month. But the hospital says recoveries have kept pace with the rate of confirmed coronavirus infections. Dr. Batirana Vyarugaba is the executive director at the Mulago National Referral Hospital.
We said, okay, let's see how this virus will kill people if we maintain them on their normal drugs, if they are hypertensive, we treat hypertension, we treat diabetes, we treat ulcers, we treat all forms of diseases. And I think that was part of our success.
Dr. Fred Nakwagala, senior consultant physician for COVID-19 case management in Uganda, says past lessons from Ebola and cholera outbreaks helped prepare them. He admits COVID-19 poses new challenges, including for healthcare workers.
You remain with that sense of fear, anxiety, and also for you may be strong, but your family where you stay, your community where you live and travel, and there's also the issue of stigma. If you go into a market now and the people in the market know you, they kind of don't want to serve you. They kind of feel like they don't want to associate with you.
Ugandan Health Minister Dr. Jane Ruth Acheng says the only newly confirmed cases of coronavirus are coming in from other countries.
Nearly 23 truck drivers who came either from Kenya or from Tanzania. Within the country, we have not been getting positive cases. And as we draw close to the end of the lockdown, we need to have vital information that will form part of the decisions for lifting the lockdown.
Uganda's lockdown restrictions on movement and gatherings are set either to expire or be extended May 5th. To help make that decision, the Ugandan Health Ministry will conduct a nationwide rapid survey on community transmission, including 20,000 tests for COVID-19, to see if additional infections are being missed. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
You're listening to African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhibi in Washington. Here is a recap of our top stories. So far, South Africa has registered around 7,000 confirmed COVID-19 infections, with more than 130 deaths. Kenya is offering free testing in densely populated areas. And Uganda's healthcare workers say they are seeing some success as they battle the coronavirus. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. The UN Children's Agency warns of an increased risk of a cholera outbreak in South Kivu province in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. UNICEF said rains are continuing after heavy floods last month endangered the lives of more than 100,000, including 48,000 children. The region has registered more than 1,800 cases of cholera since the beginning of January. UNICEF said local health authorities' capacity to respond is severely limited because the main health center in Molongwe has been destroyed. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced Ghana to improve its healthcare system. The government has pledged to build dozens of new hospitals throughout the West African nation. New technologies are also coming into play. The Silicon Valley company Zipline is using drones to carry COVID-19 test samples to labs in Ghana's big cities. The government hopes the drones will more quickly monitor the coronavirus's spread. Stacey Knott reports from Accra.
Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo, in a televised address to the nation on Sunday night, said the virus had exposed the deficiencies of Ghana's healthcare system due to years of underinvestment and neglect. He pledged to make a major investment in Ghana's healthcare infrastructure and build 88 100-bed hospitals throughout the nation.
We shall make these investments in our healthcare system not because it is going to be easy, but because it is self-evidently necessary to serve the needs of 21st century Ghana.
Ghana has 1,617 confirmed cases of COVID-19 to date and 16 deaths. Akufo-Addo said the virus had also highlighted the crucial role of emergency services. He referred to Zipline, which has been in operation for a year and is playing an active role in fighting the virus. The Silicon Valley tech business is delivering COVID-19 test samples from rural areas of Ghana to the country's two testing centres in the capital Accra and Kumasi, the country's second largest city. The process begins when healthcare workers place orders for medicine or medical products to Zipline's distribution centres. The deliveries are sent out by drones, which, within an average of 30 minutes, drop a box of medical products by parachute at a designated spot. Daniel Marfo, general manager of Zipline in Ghana, said the company is also sending out personal protection equipment to rural health facilities when they have a suspected COVID-19 case, as well as transporting tests back to labs in the cities. Mafo said this saved time for rural health facilities and is more efficient than road transportation.
Immediately that they have a suspected case of COVID, they reach out to Zipline using multimodal transportation. We are then able to reach out to them, pick up these samples from them to our distribution center. And from our distribution center, our drone then flies it off to the testing lab.
Cosmas Tibi Maku, a disease control officer, has been using Zipline's drones to deliver samples from COVID-19 patients in Ghana's Sichiri Central District. The district is mostly rural and many areas do not have good roads. He said drones bring samples to testing centres in about one-third the time it would take by car.
All samples, when taken, needs to get to the testing laboratory as soon as possible to maintain sample quality. So comparing the traditional method of sample transport, which is by road, and Zipline's drone technology, you would realize transporting sample through Zipline is more judicious in terms of time, cost, and risk.
Maku said he hopes Zipline expands its drone service to transport other kinds of medical samples and should continue doing so once the pandemic is over. Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra.
South Africa is also deploying drones in the fight against COVID-19. Authorities in South Africa's rural Great Tzaneen municipality are using drones to help spread public health messages from the sky on local languages and to monitor potential hotspots. Maurice de Klerk reports from Johannesburg.
COVID-19 has changed many things in South Africa. In the Greater Tzaneen municipality in northern Limpopo province, the mayor's voice warning about the virus comes from a drone in the sky. With only 3 hospitals in the entire district, extensive coronavirus prevention efforts are needed, says Mayor Maripi Mangena via Skype.
We are able to access our people. A drone, when it flies, when it hovers above the communities, it fascinates, it intrigues people. People want to listen. People want to hear. What is the message that is being said?
A licensed drone service provider is carrying out the messaging at potential corona hotspots under the direction of South African authorities. Speaking via Zoom, Ntiyiso Aviation Services Managing Director Jack Shiluwana says the Greater Tzaneen municipality was the first to use this drone solution his company offered to raise COVID-19 awareness.
I've got the perception that we're talking about a whole lot of money that you spend in this exercise, and others would probably ask to say, but why don't you provide water? And it is that balancing act, you know, in terms of how much drone technology costs you, but the value that you derive from an exercise such as this one.
Drones are well suited for this purpose in rural areas, especially in Africa, says the South African Federation of Unmanned Aircraft Systems. Speaking via Skype, chairperson of the Federation, Sam Twala, says drones provide more value for the money.
In Africa, that's where drones are going to find better use compared to even other areas in the world or other countries in the world, simply because of that particular challenge that we might have. And when it comes to things like your cost, that's where actually drones add much more value, because drones offer that advantage where you can tactically, you know, place your people.
Local Tzaneen media report that spreading the message on COVID-19 prevention by drones seems to have helped keep down infections. Newspaper and video streaming service Far North Bulletin's editor, Joe Dreyer, spoke via Skype.
I believe it's helped, and I believe that without the drones broadcasting these messages to the people in the far off areas, they wouldn't have known.
COVID-19 has hit South Africa the hardest of any country on the continent, with nearly 5,000 confirmed infections and at least 90 deaths. President Cyril Ramaphosa last week said a nearly five-week lockdown has curbed the spread of the virus and a phased easing of the restrictions would begin May 1st. Marise de Klerk for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Health experts in Zimbabwe warn of an upsurge in mental health problems as people suffer from anxiety during the coronavirus crisis. Rutendo Mawera reports from Harare.
Michelle Chirima, who lived on crossing the border to South Africa and buying goods for resale, says COVID-19 has told her business and turned her life upside down. Chirima says she worries how she will survive after the virus is gone.
The issue of lockdown that was imposed by the government has caused a lot of anxiety and frustration, especially to people like us who survived on buying and selling goods to the people. We are facing challenge because we can no longer do that. We are staying at home and we are using all the profits that we obtain from selling to buy basic commodities at home like cooking oil, sugar and milling. So there's no hope for tomorrow because we have used all the money.
Talent Bachi, a worker in Harare, concurs and says he constantly worries whether his company will pay salaries as he has not been going to work due to the lockdown.
I'm constantly thinking, will my employers be able to fork out a lot of money to pay me whilst I'm seated at home?
Health experts say such fear and anxiety may cause an upsurge in mental health issues. Former Minister of Health, Dr. Henry Madzorera, warns that uncertainty about the future can trigger anxiety and depression.
People are not in control of their lives anymore. This lockdown is causing a lot of anxiety to many people. What are we going to eat tomorrow? That's a big problem. Many of our citizens live on hand-to-mouth budgets. They don't have regular jobs. You know, they go and sell things today to buy food for today. And being locked down for 6 weeks or more is a serious source of anxiety and sometimes even depression.
Madzorera encourages people to remain calm and stay in touch with loved ones while even observing social distancing.
Keep connected with family and friends. Let's keep happy. Have a good laugh every day. A good laugh is better than medicine.
Psychologist Ignatius Murambidzi, director of Zimbabwe National Association for Mental Health, urges people to get information from reliable sources.
There's a lot of material, especially on social media, which is causing a lot of unwarranted anxiety and fear amongst the general population. You have to avoid that as much as possible.
An official in the Ministry of Health and Child Care, Paul Chinakidzwa, says they are already trying to help.
We are also working with other organizations that have expertise in giving psychosocial support.
Zimbabwe extended its initial 21 days lockdown by 2 weeks. For VOA, this is Rutendo Mawere in Harare.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, I'm Yehiyis Wuhib in Washington, thanking you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.
Brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndumbulo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.